I've got Chris Johnson in from the Glasshouse Community Baptist Church.
Glasshouse Country Baptist.
Country.
Everyone gets confused.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right. You're not the first.
Oh, gosh. See, I've abbreviated because it was such a mouthful.
Yeah. Tell me about
it. That's what tripped me up. So,
it's the reason the college changed its name, because everyone gets Glasshouse Country Baptist wrong. We've got been called all sorts of strange names. But it's just one of those things that happens. Mouthful of a name.
All right. Well, we'll set the record straight. Where are you and what is the history on your church?
Okay. We're in Beerwah. We've been around for 100 plus years. We just celebrated our 100th anniversary a few years ago. We've moved from a few different places, but we are where we're at now. We have a Christian school, Glasshouse Christian College, attached to the church. And we're kind of like opposite Beerwah High School, the swimming pool, around that area there. Mm-hmm. And a really significant slab of land, which we've just been quite amazing, the whole history. We've had lots of ups and downs, but through that time, it's just been a really good church. Lots of people have gone through it. Yeah, so we're running about 180 at the moment.
Fantastic. So I've got to admit, I write lots of notes, and I just had to abbreviate yours to GCBC, which is so close to the YMCA.
Yes, I know, yes.
Village people. So guess what?
You're up to play YMCA. But no dancing in the studio. We're Baptist. We don't dance. We move to music.
Just so our listeners know. So anyway, I think some of your questions are tainted a bit with YMCA. But anyway, the village people, incidentally, there was an Indian chief, a policeman, a construction worker, a soldier, and...
they changed a lot over the years.
A cowboy.
Cowboy, yes.
Yeah, there were different ones.
I did
look them up on Wikipedia. I thought, hang on a minute, that's not what I remember them looking like, but they live on, I guess. So your church is one of the smaller community churches, but you have a great following on Facebook. So your church is a real family. So tell me a bit about how you think that comes about, that family sort of community spirit.
Yeah. Well, I think I'm the minister, but I'm not paid to say this, but I actually think we punch above our weight. I think because we do take our faith seriously, but not each other. And so because of that, we recognise that it's not about us. And so I think that's really important that when we come together, not only as a church, but also as families and as friends, you know, sometimes we go, look at me, look at me, look at me, and we want to make everything about me. But because of our faith, our eyes are kind of like lifted up off ourselves, and we go, look, there's actually someone bigger than us, and there's someone that's bigger than us that wants us to be happy, but the only way that we can be happy is by looking to him and making him the star of the show, not me. And because of that, it pervades all of our relationships. Mm-hmm. So that when we get together, it's not about what I want. As a matter of fact, and the interesting thing is Jesus says, it's not what it's about serving others. So when we get together as the community, we go, how can I serve you? How can I support you? How can I help? And that's really that just spills over in our day to day life. The other interesting thing too is we joke at church; it helps us keep the bar low. Because we recognise that we're not the boss, that we're sinners saved by grace is the Christian cliche. And we recognise that, hey, I'm not perfect, and that's okay, neither are you.
Yeah.
And because God is a God that forgives us, we've got to practice forgiving each other. And we're very good at forgiving each other because we've had lots and lots of practice. I've met their minister, and believe me, he's really good at needing forgiveness.
I heard a really good analogy one day that if you're upset with someone and you're unable to forgive them, it's a bit like holding a hot rock in your hand and not throwing it. So you're just burning yourself, really, burning your hand and hurting yourself.
It is
important to forgive. And
it is. Well, in a sense, that's the whole essence of Easter. And the Christian faith, I mean, why did Jesus come? It was to show us what God was like. It was to show us his care and his love. But the way that God does it is he forgives us. And so our call is to be like Jesus and to reflect the character of God. And so therefore, if God is a forgiving God, as Jesus is people, that's what we need to do as well. And so it's no good picking up your ball and doing a major dummy spit and going, yeah, I'm a Christian, and then you're all over the place. Yeah. But it's, I've got to forgive you as you've got to forgive me. It's part of the Lord's Prayer.
Okay, I've got Chris Johnson here in the studio. He's from a lovely little church.
Glasshouse Country Baptist Church. I really want to change the name to Beer Wall, but what happened was that when it started, Glasshouse Country was the name for the region.
Yeah.
And so the church thought, because of the association with the school, which we'll talk about later on, that they wanted to be like a church for the region. And so they called it Glasshouse Country Baptist Church. But over the years, sort of that name didn't seem to really take off for the region. And so we're sort of stuck with the name, and a few people are very, very attached to the name. So I'd personally prefer to call it Beer Wall Baptist, but because we're in community and it's all about not what I want, but it's about what other people want, so I've got to learn grace and patience and go, well, that's okay. It is not a major effort, but it's really embarrassing. We've had to ring up ambulances and we go, where are you? Glasshouse Country Baptist Church. I don't see any Baptist church in Glasshouse. You go, no, we're in Beer. I told you that. Yeah, but I can't see it here in Glasshouse. So it's a,
not
it's,
the time you need to be explaining where you are,
and,
really.
And it's really embarrassing because I don't like country music. And so here I am talking about Glasshouse Country all the time. It's just, anyway.
We'll get you a hat, Bruce. Sorry, Chris, we'll get you a hat. You'll be right. So you've got a church that through our conversations, I understand that some of your church family must just feel so absolutely blessed to find you.
Yeah, I'd like to think so. I mean, like, people come to church and some people fit and some people don't fit, and that's okay. That's why there's so many different sort of churches. But those that do come along and they connect, they find themselves just amongst friends. I kind of like to describe it, if you've ever been to youth group when you're a kid, we're kind of like a middle-aged youth group. And
sounds like fun. Where do I sign fun. Up?
It really is. Like even this morning, I was talking to a couple of young men. And one of their mum and dads come along. And so all five of us started talking. And that's often what happens in the church. Like, we've got the teenagers and the young adults and stuff like that, and they get on really well. And then all of a sudden one of their parents joins them, which is so unusual in community that, you know, you actually want to hang out with mum and dad a little bit, not too much.
Mm-hmm.
And then mum and dad's friends come and join them. And so pretty soon you've got this mixture of young people and old people all mixing it up. And genuinely enjoying each other. And I think that's a little bit rare in our culture. And I look around sometimes and go, this is a good place to be, you know, that the little kids are playing with the older kids. And you know, you can take your kids to the church and you can just dump them down and you can collect them at the end, and someone's going to be looking after them in a safe place. We take that really seriously. And it is just a nice place to be.
And it is quite unusual, you're right, for that extreme intergenerational communication. Like, I know my dad's in a nursing home, and one of the activities that they do is that they take them to the childcare centre next door, and then they bring the childcare centre kids over to the nursing home.
Yeah.
And it's not something that was ever done, really, was it? I mean, when I was a kid, you know, kids were seen and not heard.
Yeah. And yet, as I read the Bible, you know, God says that we're... I mean, his idea was to create aging and to create kids and adults. And one of the ideals of the church is that we're in this together, and we're all at different stages of our faith, and that we are meant to learn from each other. I mean, it's great having the younger kids because they keep you young. You know, like when you get old, especially when your kids leave home...
Yeah. There's no reference point
anymore,
is it?
There's no reference point. No. And you start
to gentrify. SBS or something. Get angry with the world.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, but when you've got the young kids, they stop you being selfish, because when you're older and you've only got you and your wife at home, it's all about you. But when you've got the kids around you, they're reminding you, hey, there's another generation to come. So it's not just about you, but it's about them as well. And it just really adds life. And you can see the difference when the kids aren't there as to when the kids are there. And something that we try to work hard at fostering, which is difficult in this age because every society of every segment of society is segmented. So you've got something for the kids, you've got something for the teenager, you've got something for the young people, but you don't actually have something for everybody to come, except the family reunion where no one wants to go to because it's too boring. but you know, I've got to say, at church. Yeah, it's fun
at your church.
It sounds like it is, and I think it is.
I'm here with Chris Johnson, and we're talking about the
Glasshouse Country Baptist Church.
YMCA. Okay, so Chris, you've got a school that's connected to you, and I've done the stats. You know, I found you on Facebook as a church, and I just thought last night I'll have a look and I'll see how many followers the school has. And the school has quite a decent amount.
My wife actually is in charge of the Facebook page, so that's
She's a good woman.
She's a good woman. Yes, yeah. She's probably listening. Hi, Sandy.
Fantastic. Can you tell us a little bit more? Maybe we should have had Sandy in here to tell us about the school, but can you tell us about the school and hopefully you won't get in trouble when you get home?
I won't get in trouble, yes. Well, see, this is what I'm talking about, forgiveness in action. So. look, the school started about 20 years ago, and at the time, like, Beerwah was just this little hick town in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, but the elders of the church thought this is what God wants us to do, so they started a school, and now, and the growth just caught us by surprise. We were expecting, if I say two streams, do you know what I mean by streams? Like two classes.
Right.
And so the primary school, I think, they originally thought they'd have one class in the primary school, and then they'd move to two classes in the secondary school.
Right.
But they're just growing beyond imagination. So we've actually got three streams all the way through, and it isn't a marketing ploy, but we're honestly full. I think we've got about 180 students, and I'm not 100% sure of the statistics, but we might have about 10 spots left in the school. So it's a good school, and I guess people are wanting to go there for that particular reason. Significant part of the reason, I think, is because of the principal, Mike Curtis. He is a really nice guy, but more than that, he's a very wise guy. He's actually a member of our church, and he takes his faith very seriously, and that filters through the college, and so it really is a genuinely a faith-based college. Not that we Bible bash the kids, although it does play a part of what we do and how we think, and it does set the hidden agenda, I suppose, of love and of forgiveness and of responsibility and those sort of factors. Again, realizing that it's not about us, but there is a bigger force at work in our lives.
Absolutely. And does the school have any fate days or big days, or do you do anything combined?
We have an open day coming up on the 18th of May.
Fantastic.
It's really quite amazing. They've just built a recording studio, so you would love it, thanks to the government. And it's just phenomenal. They're just starting to come now. And then there's another build straight after that, which has just started recently. And you wouldn't see that yet. It's just a hole in the ground. And then after that, we're building a performing arts centre. We're calling it GPAC, Glasshouse Performing Arts Centre.
Oh, fantastic.
And it's a 600-seat auditorium that's going to have, looks like it's going to have everything that opens and closes. And so that's over a 3-year period.
Okay.
Because the college, even though the college is full, we want to keep expanding the program of the college and make it the best college for students that we can.
And you've certainly got a fair bit of land there, haven't you,
to be able to do that? Yeah. We just bought, again, in God's providence, we had some land, and then there was some land that next door to us that originally we got offered, I think it was either for $100,000 or $150,000. And it was back in the 90s, and we just couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
And so the elders made a decision at the time, we've got to let it go. And then the council put a road through it, so it actually became rather useless for most people, but it was eminently useful for us.
Yep,
but we had to buy it for a lot more money than that. But we bought that, and so we're starting to expand into that. We just built an oval there this year. Took us 9 months to get it through and to actually...
Yeah.
Actually get it built, more like 18 months, I think.
Yeah.
But we've finally got it there, and the eventual plan is that once this big build's done, we're going to have a bit of a break, sort of pay down some debt, and then we're going to start building more classrooms as
Fantastic.
Well for the kids.
Well, I'll have to come out and have a chat to the school, because I've been working with Horizons College here in Caboolture, and I work with their Year 11 students to deliver their communications project.
Well, there you go. So hear that, Sandy?
So we put together, I've actually got quite a comprehensive manual that I can share that gives them a whole heap of information and tips and tricks.
Yeah.
So yeah, generally I go into the school on a Wednesday, a Monday morning and a Wednesday morning,
okay,
and work with the kids in class. So certainly we can open up that conversation.
Well,
and have
that'll
a chat
be
about
up
that.
The school. Yeah, they're a separate company to us, but we're good friends. And the board, the school is basically run by a college board and a college company, and the college board members are basically church members or church-appointed people, and the company are church people as well. And that's sort of, again, to help keep the very close ties together, and because faith is our core business, it is to help keep the main thing the main thing.
Yeah, fantastic. Chris, it's been lovely having you in the studio. This is the second time I've caught up with you this week, and both times it's been an absolute pleasure.
I enjoy myself. Thank you.
And we do hope that you come back sometime to discuss some more ideas with us.
It's a pleasure.
You have a wonderful, wonderful Easter, and thank you very much, and we'll look forward to talking to you soon.
Thanks, Sally-Ann. Thank you very much. You have a great Easter too.
Thank you.